Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 13th episode of Comic Pop Visits. Today we sit down and visit with Metropolis America's lead vocalist and bass player, Kristen Mora. Kristen was kind enough to take a moment during his busy schedule and visit with April, Chris, and Richard. We had a great time talking with him, and we enjoyed having him on the show. To keep up with all of Metropolis America's releases and news, be sure to go to their site, metropolisamerica.com. While there, you can watch their videos, download their music, and subscribe to their e-newsletter. Before we start, I want to thank Margot Durgos of the Muse Box. She worked with Kristen and us behind the scenes so this visit could take place. So thank you, Margot. And now we begin with Burden of Our Youth. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Comic Pop Visits. I'm Richard. Along with me today are...
Chris.
April.
We've just finished listening to a sample of Burden of Our Youth from Metropolis America, and today we are honored to have Kristen Mora, who does the vocals and plays bass for the band. So, Kristen, we appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing good. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Technology is wonderful this day and age. Love it.
It is. I'm staring at you. Where are you guys? In somewhere in the Midwest, right?
Yeah.
Not quite. Dodge City, Kansas.
Oh, look, that's even better.
Town full of history.
Lewis.
Yeah, it's Midwest.
It's in the South.
No, it's in Missouri.
Well, I lived in Nashville, and I went a lot to St. Louis, and they called it the Midwest. So, yeah. Even though I agree.
They're not. No.
They call Detroit the Midwest.
Yes, it is.
They're faking. Jealous haters.
Just to let everyone know out there that we'll be reviewing Metropolis America's music on episode 42 of Comic Pop Library, and that'll be released after Labor Day in September, so you'll be all caught up on the recent releases. Today, we're just going to hear some of the releases that have posted on the web, so everybody can go and enjoy them. So that's just a little house cleaning we needed to do. And then April, we'll let you start.
I hear a bird.
Do we have a birdie? Or a squeak?
You know what? Now that I think about it, if you hear mechanical or machine noises, I can go up there and try to quiet them down. But we're at our library, we're recarpeting. So if we hear anything loud or sort of disruptive, just I can go talk to them and see what we can do.
Anyways, past that. So with your band, Metropolis America, can you tell us a little bit behind how you chose that name? Because it's kind of a unique name.
Is there Superman fans over there?
No. I do get that question asked frequently, though. No Superman fans. We were thinking, you know, as every band does, they rack their brain for days and days trying to think of what they're going to call themselves. And we just had pages and pages of different names, and we couldn't agree. This had been like a 10-day process. And I had to go on a trip to Paris at the time. And I went to Paris, and then all of a sudden I was sitting in a cafe, and I noticed the name of the cafe was Metropolis America. And then I called back the guitarist and I asked him, wasn't Metropolis one of the names that we had? They're like, yeah. It's like, well, I'm sitting in a cafe called Metropolis America, and I think that's it. And we decided right there at that moment.
Quirk of fate.
Yeah. So there's a cafe somewhere in Paris that bears the same name as the band.
That's cool.
Very cool. And you're talking about, like, you know, the name process takes so long, and, you know, you've always got to find, like, that right name for you. And so before you have to pick a name, you have to actually come up with a band. And so did that come from a high school thing, or did you just wake up and say, hey, let's start a band? Like,
well, that's a great story. This band that has created the songs that you guys are going to play, it's pretty new. We've been together maybe about a year and a half or so. And that we came together via Craigslist, actually, if you can believe that. We found each other through ads on Craigslist. But as far as the whole history of the band, it started with two friends of mine. One played guitar, one played drums, and they were put a band together. And all I've ever wanted to do was be in a band. And so I'm like, well, I want to join the band. What can I do? And they told me, well, you got to play bass. And I had no idea what a bass guitar was or anything. I just went to the local music shop, asked for bass lessons, asked for them to point me to a bass, picked up a bass and started learning it. And so it was a high school band that stuck together for a really long time. And then, you know, just members change and, you know, it evolves, but it really was that. It was a high school band that learned how to play together and learned how to write songs together.
Okay. And speaking of like a high school band and thing, did you ever join the class, like a vocal or a band class, just to, you know, kind of know something about music before you start a band?
Well, yeah, the three of us, actually, the drummer, the guitarist, and myself, we all decided, hey, we're going to keep the band together. Let's go to college and become music majors. So, you know, the funny story is we were all in sight singing together, and the teacher would put up these really hard notes, and you were supposed to be able to sing them perfectly just by being able to read them by sight. And everyone in class raised their hand except the three of us. So right away we knew that, you know, rock and roll was really for us as something to grow in our garage, not really to study in the classrooms.
You didn't like the classical stuff?
Right. So we changed our major after that class, but we definitely perfected rock and roll in the walls of our garage.
As long as you can read music, right?
Right.
Well, part of rock and roll is life experiences, so...
Amen.
You can get that in college, but when you're out on your own, you definitely receive those life experiences. And you're talking about your band members. They're Rick Eddy and Greg Kintner now?
Correct. Are the Rick current is ones? On drums, and Greg is playing guitar.
Okay. It says you're also the songwriter. Have you done all, I think it's nine songs that will eventually be released on your website? Were you the writer for all of those?
Yeah, it starts with an idea, and then I'll bring it to the, I'll come up with some, most of the time, I'm a waiter at a restaurant, and I'll be doing something, and I'll get a melody in my head. And that'll start like at the beginning of the shift. And by the end of the shift, it's a complete song that I, you know, just have sung in my head all day. And I don't forget it that way. And then we'll come to the rehearsal studio.
So you're kind of your own personal recorder in a sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you got to sing it in your head a bunch of times so you don't forget it. That's very important. And then we come to rehearsal space and then we all kind of start putting our parts together and we, you know, we make it, we add our own piece, each of us.
And we noticed that you are also on the publishing side of the music industry with, I don't know if Steedog? Is that right? Yeah. And so I'm pretty sure that really helps with the whole getting it all put together and making your music.
It does, absolutely. You know, sometimes you can have too much business in your music or not enough. But yeah, I think knowing a little bit about music publishing and how to get your songs out there, it's been very helpful to us.
With the songwriting, who's been some of your inspirations? I know there's a lot of artists out there that everybody knows, but is there any songwriters per se as well as the more famous stars that really inspired you?
You know, that's a great question. I don't think I've been asked that question very often, and that's a very good one. I love the mood, as far as, you know, how a song comes together and the songwriting influences. I love the mood that Robert Smith from The Cure puts to his songs. Okay. As far as lyrics, there's one person that's very well known. I think Bono does an amazing job of being cheeky but creative and commercial and yet leave you thinking at the same time, as well as a lesser known person by the name of Matthew Ryan. If no one has ever listened, if you guys have never listened to Matthew Ryan, in my opinion, he's the best lyricist of our generation. And then as far as just the music that I love and has shaped all the thoughts that come into my head, it's a lot of the 80s stuff. Thompson Twins, Howard Jones, The Human League, Psychedelic Furs. I had, you know, an older brother and an older sister, and I would steal all their records. Sometimes even scratching them, and they would yell at me. But, you know, I would just wear them out, and all that music really stayed with me.
And to a degree, some of your songs kind of had a David Bowie vibe to me as well.
Yeah, you know, David Bowie, he really did that very well. He surpassed a lot of decades, but, you know, very talented.
Yeah, and there's definitely that sort of 80s influence in, like, your music in general. And you said you came up with a genre called cold pop?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Can you tell us a bit about how that formed, what it is?
Yeah, you know, musicians get asked, well, what kind of music do you play? And so, you know, for years, I've been trying to really describe it well, and it's very catchy. So some might call it pop, but it's not pop enough to be like Katy Perry. And, you know, there's some kind of darker elements. I don't know if you've heard some of the other stuff like You Don't Have To or Not For Everyone, or even in Burden of Our Youth. There's some little bit of dark, a little bit of sweet and sour in there. And so that's a little colder. So I think, you know, you mesh the two and you have cold pop. It's music that is catchy but with an edge.
You can also tell your uniqueness through your latest video, music video. I don't know if I can call it that or not, but and it's,
you can.
It
I
was
think you can.
Definitely not what somebody would expect going in to watch it, read it, I guess.
Huh? Yeah.
And so, like, it's basically just words, you know? It's like, give me a hard time.
She doesn't like to read.
I don't.
Who came up with that for your music video?
My wife did. We were all, you know, we have the song and we know it's going to be the single, so you have to make a video, right? Because people discover your songs on YouTube, and if you don't make a video, you're dead. So we're thinking and thinking and thinking of ideas. All right, what can we do? What can we do? And the worst thing you can do is to disservice the song, you know? Because you've put all this love and emotion and time into the song, and you want the video to make it cooler, not to take away from it. And we couldn't think of something that would add to the song. So then we thought of, well, what if we make an un-video? And so our video is the un-video. And that's what we really thought served the song the best.
And Burden of Our Youth, to me, that was one of those that you said had the darker edge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because you're basically breaking away from your community that you grew up with, and that's your burden. And you're trying, whether it's for good or bad, you're trying to change, but you still have that community built into you, and it's in your genes. And so that, to me, I don't know if I'm interpreting correctly or not, but I like that edge on it, and like you said, it still has that lot of kinetic energy to it.
Mm-hmm. I think it really did take a village to raise us. I mean, we're all products of the love, good and bad, that we've received, you know, from parents and teachers and friends, and we carry that with us. And, you know, my hope for all of us is that we can really embrace the good that's been given to us and make something great of ourselves. And to also find maybe some of the negative things that we picked up from the past that maybe we don't need to carry around with us as well.
And Before we get off the subject of the video, there was one little section in it where you talked about we're not hiding anything, you know, and you put up pictures of yourself. I'm calling you out on that. The only thing I got from those pictures are you are three guys. Like,
right, yeah.
So, you know, so send, like, a picture to us of your faces so that we know who you are.
Yes, I promise. In the next video, actually, we show our faces.
All right, because...
So,
I know,
the mystery will be revealed.
It's like, I don't even know who these people are. Like, I think I'm, like, right now I'm looking at a picture of someone in a red shirt with, like, sparks. Maybe fireworks sparks or something go through. That is, like, the clearest picture I've ever seen, and I can't see his face.
You know, they're going for the anonymity, like Daft Punk does, or...
But you, next video, I promise.
All right. If you don't, I'll sue you.
No.
It's on recording. He promised.
He promised. Breach of promise.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Teenagers.
You don't, do you have any, speaking of teenagers, you said you have a wife, do you have other family as well?
No.
It's not yet?
Two furry cats.
Ah.
Two fat, furry cats, yeah.
Sometimes they can be just as bad.
And how often does she participate in helping you with videos or anything behind the scenes for the band?
You know what, I don't think wives get enough credit. I don't think bandmates give their wives enough credit because they're around for a lot of things. You know, they're around to hear a little melody that comes into your head and they're like, yeah, I like that, or no. So sometimes they play a big part of what song you choose to write or what lyric you go with. And so I would say quite a bit. And I think they do in most bands, you know, because they're around and they can shape the future.
To go back in a little bit of your past, I kind of did a little of checking around on Amazon, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, but did you have a previous album, The Hospital of Regrets and Dreams?
Yes, that was a previous lineup. That was an older band.
Okay.
Yeah, but that is me on there.
I didn't know how that came about and saw it on there, but the songs aren't on your current site. Are you going to add those to your site at any time, or is that just something?
It's a very different project, so I didn't want to confuse people. You know, it is. I am treating it like a different band.
Okay.
There was a guitarist that I helped write a lot of the songs, and he's not part of the band anymore. So it's going to sound very different. It's going to have a very different feel to it. So that's why I just wanted to kind of start over with the cold pop sound, which is what we're doing currently.
And most of those are available to download on your site.
They are, yeah.
Is that pretty much how you're doing this, as well as some of the digital downloads? I think they're on iTunes as well. And I know you had a few EPs out there as well, but I think it's your second EP that's really jumped in price.
Yeah, because there's not that many copies were printed. So yeah, I think it's what, up to $50 or something like that, or
somewhere up in that range.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
Is it your intent to keep your music with Metropolis America as free downloads on your site, or are you going to release an album at some point?
It is. Yeah, I mean, we make it available on iTunes because people, sometimes that's what they prefer. They prefer to just get it on iTunes. But yes, our music, everything that we do is available for free on our website. Hint, hint to all your listeners. You don't have to go to iTunes. This is a special bulletin for all comic pop lovers.
MetropolisAmerica.com.
That's right. You get music for free on the website. All of them.
And speaking of your songs that you've all written, and there was a project you had over the summer with Brian Sperber, is that right? And
he is the producer of the songs of Burden of Our Youth and Bittersweet and Stolen Car.
So that's how those came about, and they all...
Correct, yeah. All right. He's, you know, an amazing, amazing, talented, gifted producer. Has worked with just about anyone. You name it, he's been in a room with them at some point.
Okay.
So just to be able to work with him and, you know, have his ideas thrown into the songs, that was you know, kind of like a dream come true.
Yeah, and, to...
and before we go on, we're going to put in a drop here real fast for Bittersweet. Oh, excuse me, April's upset. Let her go.
Well,
don't upset the ladies. I've learned that.
Give people just a taste of what you guys were working on over the summer. We were going to do a drop for Bittersweet, which was released July 4th. I had a whole deal for it.
I apologize.
Yeah.
We're back after listening to Bittersweet that April introduced for us, and this is another one of those that it's kind of, oh, how would you say, Christian? It's somebody that's in love with another person, but they're not returning that love, so it's a bittersweet love. Is that
right? Yeah. This came about actually. I studied counseling in college, so you know, to keep my chops up, there's an advice kind of column that I help answer, and the question that gets answered the most, that question that gets asked the most is, I've fallen in love with my best friend. What should I do?
Oh, that sucks.
You know, because they don't know, should I tell them? But I'm scared that I might lose the friendship, but I want more. And so that's what this song is about, because it's such a bittersweet feeling because you love this person, you want more, but you don't want to lose the friendship. And so that's what the whole song is about.
So it's almost another one of those songs that's almost angry, but the beat is so upbeat that it's you're tapping
your
foot.
You don't really notice, you know, you're just like, hey, good song. And with your music, I've noticed that you guys are, to me, are heavy into really the instrumental part of the music, which I really enjoy, just listening to, like, the clash of it all. Like,
You know, here's a little trivia for, you know, a little tidbit only for Comic Pop. I don't know any other bands that did this, but there are 12 bass tracks on each song.
Wow.
Which is, yeah, usually you just do one or two, right? Yeah, but this one has 12. So there are many, many layers of keyboards and basses.
And this is just a band of three, guys.
Yeah.
So is that throughout the whole experience for these three songs, or is that pretty much what you've done with all nine, with the multiple tracks?
All nine are pretty layered. Okay. Brian did take it to a whole other level. So you can say all nine are deeply layered, but these last three specifically, Bittersweet, A Burden of Our Youth, and A Stolen Heart and A Stolen Car, those are very meticulously layered, and there is absolutely nothing that is out of time. Which is, you know, something for technology reasons, but something the Beatles couldn't say, or even Def Leppard, you know, or those very meticulous bands. Right. But there is absolutely nothing that is even a tenth of a second out of time on any of those songs.
With your sessions prior to, were those primarily just on by yourselves as the band, or did you have a producer on those as well?
No, all the... Besides the three, all the other songs were with Jim Ebert.
Okay.
He's a producer out of Washington, D.C. He worked with Butch Walker, Marvelous Three, amongst other, you know, bunch of other names.
So you're working through them, and do you still control the main concept of your songs, though? And they can give you advice, but the band will decide if they want to go with it or not? Or
yeah, you know, bands really have a hard time with whether they want to go with a producer or not, because you're really putting your work into the hands of another. I'm a big believer in it. I do I take the song as far as I can take it. All my ideas and all, I make it as good as I can. But there's something very valuable about having another person's perspective coming into this, and just they see things that I don't, and they're able to move things around and sculpt it in a way that makes it better. So I, in my opinion, it's very important to work with the right producer.
Right. And you guys are stationed out of Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
Yes, but we've also noticed that you will try to do a lot to get to different shows. And so how far are you willing to go to get there? Like,
I will come to Kansas. We're 100% serious. You know, music, music is a very personal experience, and I remember what I would have given, because I'm originally from Miami, and not that many people come to Miami because it's, I know it's a big city, but it's kind of all the way far south, so it's kind of like out of the way. So only about half the artists that I ever wanted to see growing up ever came. I would have given anything.
You would have thought differently with Miami.
Yeah, yeah. But they forget that it's the very edge of the panhandle. I think Atlanta or a place like Philadelphia gets everyone because it's kind of on the way.
Right, on the track, yeah.
Yeah. So if there is someone that loves our songs, we will find a way. We'll either fly them out here to Philadelphia if it's just one person, or if it's a group of five. You know, we'll find a way. We'll find a way.
Surely you're not wanting to go into the red on this, are you?
Sure. Well, you know, there are different methods now that can be inexpensive. So
definitely.
Yeah, we'll find a way.
That's good, because there's not a lot of artists out there that are willing to, you know, just make sure they get to hear them.
Yeah. Yeah, and we, you know, we even have it up on our website. If they want a place for someone to contact us, if there's a specific area that they want us to come to. So
you're kind of embracing the technology end of it and mentioning the performances and going to shows. Have you gentlemen thought about doing a live stream show that might be wherever you're playing at that night? Just set up a camera and do a live stream, or
we definitely have. The only thing that we're missing is maybe a camera or two, because I'd like to, you know, we everything we do, we want to try to do as best as we can. So it's one thing for us to set up our iPhone and just let it stream, but we'd love to be able to get a couple cameras so you have a couple angles and you can do some cuts. And so we're hoping by this third release to do a live stream.
Okay.
But we just need to find a little bit of a camera or two to be able to do it well.
Are you going to, pardon me, sorry about that. With the, I know at the end of, I think it's Labor Day is your latest release. On your feature release after that, whatever comes down the pike, are they still going to go to your website for free downloads, or are you going to try something, a different project?
That is the place to do it, yeah. As soon as the release date gets out, you know that you can find it for free on our site.
Okay.
And I know I'm not very good with technology, so are you guys planning an album, or do you have an album in the future you might want to get to so that we can buy a something we can touch? Because I'm not...
Oh, you mean as far as like physical, right?
Yeah, like a CD or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, we made CDs of the last stuff, and there isn't that much request for it these days. We'll gladly make some. If, you know, I'll gladly send you one, a personalized one.
That's good, because I don't know anything about downloading anything, so...
I can definitely send you a personalized one. And, I think when we put together another bigger album, I think we can do a CD. So the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to shoot you April's address, I guess, or Chris can type it in the Skype box there.
Yeah.
If he wants to for us. He's looking at me like I'm crazy. For a sound guy, he's not talking a whole lot.
I listen.
So, you know, this is just like, you know, starting band, you know, new indie bands. And it takes a lot, you know, if you have a dream to really get there with it. So do you have really anything to say to and listeners who have maybe not an indie, you know, dream, but just a dream in general that's like seems impossible to get to, you know, like
young or older?
Yeah.
You know what? That's a really, really good question, too. You guys got to give yourselves props for, you know, those are two really, really good questions that don't get asked enough, I think. What I would say to them is, number one, if I can help you, I will. So if there's someone out there that I can help in some way, I will. Because the people that have helped me out have, it's really life-changing and I owe them a lot. So I'm already in debt. So if there's someone I can help, I will help them. So contact me. And number two, you know, the thing that you hear a lot is don't stop, don't, you know, persevere. And I don't know what advice to give. That is a good one. I don't know if that's the end all of end all, because there are some things you should stop. You know, there are sometimes you're just not on the right path and you should stop and rethink it. So I would say just really follow. If you're going to follow something, just be sure that you absolutely love it. Whatever you're going to do, not just, hey, I really love to be famous one day, so I'm going to do all this. But no, like, man, I really love to practice in a hot garage. Or, man, I really love to drive 10 hours in a small van to play in front of 10 people. Like, if you really love that, do it.
Is this speaking from experience, or is it still going on for you guys?
yeah, I mean, there's...
You're still in the small van and the hot...
In the past where I had to drive for 10 hours and there were 10 people, yeah.
You still in the hot studio or hot garage too, or it's a little nicer now?
Well, it's very nice, you know, but rehearsal spaces, they're usually in warehouses. So even though it has a very nice space and it has air conditioning, it can get hot in the summer,
And thinking about, you know, just being crammed in that little van, you know, with your bandmates and all the equipment and everything, and you guys are fresh band, like, how, like, strenuous is that? Again, you know, it's like, it's at that point where it's like, shut up. Like,
well, yeah, no, the people that say being in a band is like a marriage, it is absolutely true. It really is. You better pick your bandmates, you know, with the same list of specifics as your wife, because you've got to get along with them. You know, you're going to spend a lot of time with them, and you got to get along with them.
Do you do quite a bit of stuff on your off time too, or do you try to do that on
together? You mean?
Yes.
Enough. We'll go to shows together. You know, we'll go out to eat and stuff. Because we get along. You know.
Cool.
So it worked out.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot what I was gonna say. No, it was a good question too.
Oh my. Well, I know you're being busy and everything, but before we sign off, we want to get your email, Kristen. If you want to type it in the chat box on the Skype so Chris can get it, because I like to inform the artists when the visits go up and when the reviews go up, so that if you choose, you can listen to them and put a link to it on your pages if you want to.
Yeah, definitely. Please keep us updated.
And
let all our people know.
And sometimes we have teenagers, so sometimes they are brutally honest. So. We've done so.
Isn't that bad?
But if you want to type that into the text box, and Chris can copy it down for me, and I can take it back with me. And also, if you would like, we would definitely appreciate it if you would like to do a bumper for us.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Basically, what we've been doing is just having the person mention their name and just say, you know, this is Christian Moore of Metropolis America, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Excellent.
And if you could do that for us, we'd be great.
Just let me know when. Give me a cue.
You ready?
Look at the camera. Yeah, there you go.
3, 2.
This is Christian from Metropolis America, and you are listening to Comic Pop Library.
Perfect. Cool. Yay. Look at the camera.
I wasn't sure if you were seeing April or not.
Well, I do when his head's turned away, so I'm like, look at the camera. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like I said, we like to have fun. And I'm glad to hear that you guys like to have fun, too, together.
Yeah,
that definitely makes a nicer experience in everything you do. And being in the publishing part of it has to be a kind of a little bit of a dream job, too, because you're still immersed in the music. So it's kind of nice to be working and actually getting paid for what you like as well.
Yeah. It is, you know, the music business is a lot of work. So same thing to anyone who's interested in going into the music business. Be prepared to work harder than, you know, your average 9-to-5.
I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize, like with a big celebrity house, like, you know, oh, it's so easy, and they're actually, you know, they're in the studio pounding out, you know, they're doing take and take and take of just one little section of a song, you know, and it's not all fun and games, you know, you work hard and long hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes it a lot easier when it's a labor of love, though.
Yeah.
So. You know, when it's like one of your babies that you're bringing to life, so.
Chris, did you think of your question?
No, and it's bugging me.
We'll think about it when we're not doing this, though. But, yeah. Oh,
right. When we hang up, I'll remember what it is.
We might have to email you the question and put it on the episode when we do the review, if he can remember it. But Christian, we appreciate you taking the time out today from your busy schedule. And
thank you for your time, guys. How's camp going?
Huh?
Weren't you in camp just a little bit ago, April?
I was. Yeah? I went to...
Are you done or are you going back?
I'm done with one camp. I had a Broadway camp in Colorado that I went to. Then we did 2 weeks and a big scale of performance.
Very cool. What'd you do?
We did a lot.
It was a 3-hour performance.
It was. So we had this really big mashup at the beginning as an entrance.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, we did smaller bits and then like a really Les Mis ending. But
all right.
And then here in about a week roughly, I'm going to up to Hayes for their music camp shout out.
And what do you play?
I play the clarinet, but I'm going on the contrabass clarinet. So look it up on Google.
Very cool. Yeah.
You're going to have to develop your lungs.
Google. Oh, yeah.
I play Barry Sax, so I can speak from experience.
It's the lower range, so, you know.
Yeah, my dad played.
Can't be a smoker. So. Don't smoke, kids. Then you can't play these. But, yeah, and really the great thing about... sorry, I'm going to do a shout-out for them now. You got me talking about camp. It's my fourth year going, and it's literally like you're going to school and you have a class. Like, I have friends that started out the same year as me, you know, first year, and we're going, and that's my graduating class, I guess you could say, you know. And really, it's like family.
Just to go see your friends for a week.
It's so sad.
But April's one, she wants to get into the music industry in some fashion or form. Yep. Hopefully she will realize what she wants to do. She's still exploring the different avenues. Okay, we are going to finish off the visit with an older single of Metropolis America's called Love You Love. And when we release episode 42, like I said, we'll be featuring another 3 songs. And one of those will be the song that Kristen mentioned in the podcast, A Stolen Heart and a Stolen Car, which will be released at that time around Labor Day weekend. So check out their website at metropolisamerica.com for the official release, and stay tuned for that. And like I said, Christian, before you leave, we'd like to get your email address, so if you wouldn't mind. Oh, Chris says he has it. That pretty much does it for us. We appreciate Chris all the time. I know you're busy. We appreciate, especially holiday time. You're probably definitely busy.
It's not a holiday time. Oh, 4th of July. Yeah.
You can see April's blonde, too.
No, it's just, I don't really count it as a holiday.
Oh.
I can't really mention that I'm not a fan of the 4th of July.
Okay, Christian. We want to thank you again. It's been a joy visiting with you and hope you had fun with us.
Richard, April, Chris, thank you guys.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day, Christian. Yep.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you, love. Stories filled with exaggeration make me so skeptical. You do some things one should never mention. It should be unacceptable. There are times I think I have to get away, but a promise made is what makes me stay.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.